We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is KC Sports Network, proudly presented by M-Prize Bank.
Welcome back to One Royal Way here on Kansas City Sports Network. I'm Joel Penfield. Josh Kaiser joining us as always. Jordan is out today because, well, his voice decided to not work today, and working in an audio-video medium, that's not an ideal scenario.
Yeah, that's not great. I too, am a little under the weather. It is a playing through some injuries here in the One Royal Way. Just gearing up for this grind of a season. We're going to get this out of the way and get back to it and be in the best shape of our lives by the next week.
Are we in best shape of our lives season heading into opening day?
I feel like we've already passed like the main part of that, and then now we're going into where the rubber hits the road, truly the best shape of our lives type of thing.
All right. Well, hey, we appreciate you guys. You guys are driving this episode, the listeners of this podcast. We have a mailbag coming up for you. There wasn't really a ton besides some of this housekeeping stuff to go off of. Also, we wanted to do another roster projection, which feels redundant because I think outside of the Prado Velasquez situation, like battle, I don't think there's much else to talk about. So a lot of mailbag questions. We got some baseball questions, some Lord of the Rings. We'll get into it all. This show brought to you by M-Prize Bank, our partners in possible, not just at this show, but at Kansas City Sports Network as a whole. We can't thank them for the support, for helping us out for the 2024 season. Some housekeeping off the top here. Our guy, Cole Reagans, is the opening day starter. And I know I have been driving that train, I think, since the season ended last year, that he should be the opening day starter. I know that you and Jordan have kind of kicked around Seth Lugo, Michael Walker, probably in that scenario. But the Royals are giving it to their best guy, and I give them credit for that. I thought they maybe would go that route. But at the end of the day, I think if you're a team that wants to be competitive, you don't throw out your safest option on opening day. You throw out your best guy, and that's what Cole Reagans is. So I'm very excited for opening day at Kauffman here next Thursday. We are getting so close.
So close. And I'm with you that it was a very surprising announcement, especially kind of announcing it this early. There was some speculation that he was kind of lighting up, but there was some rain outs and some weird weather related stuff going on. So it was kind of a surprise that they didn't announce this early, but you're absolutely right. This is a very exciting announcement. It looked like Reagans was very, honored and emotional about getting the call. So I think that is, it definitely sends a message both to this team and to this fan base. So something that you'd be very, very excited about.
It was nice to see Cole Reagans showing some level of emotion, because that guy is just here the whole time, is never wavering. So credit, it is a really cool honor to not only get an opening day start, but it'd be your first one as well. And the team that gave you the opportunity to be a full-time starter, it's something that really wasn't available to him in Texas. So very cool.
When was the last time you were excited about an opening day starter? There was some speculation maybe Singer might get an opening day start the last few years. And
yeah, well, he probably would. I mean, he would have last year if it wasn't for the WBC. So I guess that's like, it just happened to fall on Greeky because Singer wasn't ramped up. So,
right.
I don't know, to be honest with you. Like, maybe 2016 with Steady Eddie, just because you were coming off the World Series. I think that might be why, but that might be the last time.
That's just such a wild thing to think about. Is it's been that long since we've been excited about an opening day starter, not just like, oh, opening day, baseball's back, but actually like jacked up to see the pitcher himself be the one throwing the ball. That's just doubly exciting. Very good times.
The wild Royals trivia question in a few years is going to be, which Rule 5 draft pick got two opening day starts in Brad Keller?
I mean, relatively speaking, a Rule 5 draft pick, not many have as much success as Brad Keller. And
no,
say
he's one of the most successful of the last decade.
100%. It is going to be a trivia question. You're right about that, and people may forget about Brad Keller, but relatively speaking, that was a pretty solid pick.
So we got a little more news on Gavin Cross. We had talked a little bit about, you know, maybe he got sick, and we kind of heard a couple of things about, you know, what might have led to a disastrous 2023 campaign in Quad Cities and, you know, a cup of coffee in Northwest Arkansas. Well, we found out the guy got bit by a tick and got Rocky Mountain spotted fever, which is a bacterial disease that is spread by ticks, and he lost a bunch of weight, got super sick. I guess at this point, he has regained the muscle that he had lost, and so he's more back to normal than what happened last year. And just like, that is so fucking ridiculous. Like, how can you can't make that up? Like, we've had, like, it felt like we're all like, oh my god, another Royal first round pick is flaming out at high A. This is a disaster. Turns out the dude got bit by a tick and got like Lyme disease or whatever it is. You've got to be kidding me.
One of those things where you wonder, like, at what point do you start blaming, like, coaching and development or the scouting or the R&D? Sometimes it's just stupid luck, and it's bonkers that this is a thing. Very unheard of in the situation, but seeing him in that spring breakout game, it does look like he does have plenty of that muscle back. He looked absolutely huge in that spring.
He did. To be fair, he did get his doors blown off by Jacob Mizorowski a couple of times, but he chalk that up to he's getting his timing back with set muscles. So we'll see. Like,
Mizorowski in that game was the epitome of effectively wild.
He was
five strikeouts, two walks, two hit by batters. He had Gentry in the hand. I mean, I would be a bit skittish getting in that box against anybody, but especially a dude pumping 98 that doesn't have command.
Yeah, very, very fair. Any, do you have any other quickly, any takeaways from the spring breakout game?
I thought Rocafort looked well. Our guy hit a home run. One of the only hits the Royals prospects had in that game. Line drive home run in on his hands. He pulled it, so that was pretty impressive.
It felt like he didn't even hit it well.
Yes.
Still got out. Yeah.
It was line drive. I mean, that ball did not get 20 feet off the ground. It was a very impressive shot. I thought Blake Mitchell looked pretty, you know, confident behind the plate. He was a pretty solid receiver behind the plate. He held his own at the plate, taking at bats against some, you know, seasoned prospects as well. And then we saw Chandler Champlain and Will Klein close it out. Pretty filthy stuff from those two guys. So I think we had talked about in the chat that we'd like to have seen some other guys, but I thought the guys, you know, especially those, kind of stood out to me as pretty solid performances there in that spring breakout.
My only takeaway from it, and I caught a little bit of it. I wasn't able to catch the whole thing. I caught the first few innings. And then I checked the box score. Not having Frank Mazzucato throw, Ben Cooter to throw, Blake Walters, any of those guys, feels like a missed opportunity. Like, this format is meant for top prospects to throw and to be showcased. And to not throw them and really just put your AAA pitchers out there felt a little, not unserious is not the right word, but like, it felt like a missed opportunity to showcase these guys that are supposed to be a part of your higher ceiling part of your future in the rotation. Mason Barnett, Chandler Champlain, those are big league pitchers, I think, in some capacity, but there's a ceiling to what they can be. I think there are higher ceilings that we maybe could have gotten a little glimpse of that felt like that should have been showcased in this type of game. Cool concept. I love the concept that MLB's going for. We're going to see this going forward. I just want to see the Royals turn it, make it what it is intended to be when it comes to the pitching side.
100%.
Yeah. Couple injury updates here. Michael Massey has a tight back. Hate to see that right before opening day. Hopefully that's just like kind of like a Jordan Lyles thing where it's just kind of quick and we're able to get back. Jake Brintz, rough spring continues. He's got a hamstring that's barking. I think it's more and more likely he's going to end up in Omaha. He should at this point. Just full reset, get ready by the end of April, beginning of May. And then Dyron Blanco with a calf strain. For a guy that is defense and speed mainly, not ideal. So now that fourth outfield spot is up for grabs, which kind of opens the door back up for a Nelson Velasquez, or maybe it's a Adam Frazier, Garrett Hampson, kind of a little bit of Nick Prado, kind of piece working their way through the outfield for that bench spot. So I'll be curious how they end up using that if it is a more long-term thing for Blanco. Any notes there?
Yeah, there was a couple updates from Andy Rogers prior to us jumping on here. Massey was just back tightness. We'll see where they are in a couple days. But Jake Brintz was a grade 2 strain, and he is for 6 weeks. There's still 2 weeks before the start of the season. So if you kind of knock that down to 4 weeks, he's still missing 4 weeks of the season. You kind of start to wonder if that's a 60-day DL move coming, but we'll have to see how that goes. It does kind of open up some spots potentially for a guy like, you know, Walter Pennington or Sam Long, Luis Cezza we might talk about later. So there's some dominoes falling from that injury potentially, but it sucks for Jake Brintz because he was battling his command all. He's kind of coming back from that injury. It sucks for him because he did have a couple good outings there in a row. So you kind of started to perk your eyebrows up a little bit. And then he went down, sounded like he was in pretty solid pain there for his hamstring and that injury. So shout out to him. Hopefully he gets ready soon. And Blanco did play in a game on Sunday. So he may be good to go by the opening day. We'll have to monitor that.
Awesome. Sounds good. The Samad Taylor trade to the Seattle Mariners was completed. It was a player to be named later move. The Royals got their guy, and I'm going to try and pronounce this right. Natanael Garabitos.
Sure.
It looks like Nathaniel, but it's not, I promise.
Yep. Natanael.
He is. I speak a little bit of Spanish. You'd think I'd be able to pronounce it. I cannot.
That's a tough one.
Not easy. He is a 23-year-old reliever from the Dominican Republic. Fastball is up to 100. He spent the last two full seasons with the Modesto Nuts in the California League, and that is low A Cal League.
Great pull. Great team name, great pull there.
The Modesto Nuts. And I literally mean like it is a like a cashew is their mascot. It's
fun. Sure it is.
Sure it is. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Because we're all 12 here, right?
Totally where my head went.
Yep. So, big fastball, walks everyone. He has, in these past 2 years in low A, 59 strikeouts and 44 innings. That's pretty good. 35 walks. And then in 2023, 54 strikeouts in 40 and a third, 31 walks. So, maybe this is a pure just bet on stuff and see if they can tweak it and figure it out. It's a lottery ticket. Samad Taylor kind of was that in the Whit Merrifield trade. So the fact they're able to get something for him, cool. But he will likely go to Quad Cities, I'd imagine. Bump him up a level. He'll be 23, so he'll be a little old for the level anyways. But maybe he's able to find something, a little change of scenery works out for him.
Yep, just the 30.2% K rate, 17.3% walk rate. Definitely don't want that. But an interesting little nugget here, Baseball America back in December did grade the best tools in the Seattle farm system. He was rated with the best fastball in the Seattle system. So that's not nothing. Got to figure out where it's going before we can really kind of hope on it. But it is definitely a lottery ticket.
You have any final takeaways from either spring breakout or anything else from the week that was for the Royals with some of these spring training games?
We caught a couple Michael Garcia home runs this last week, so that's fun to see. Bobby Witt Jr. went 9-for-16 with no strikeouts in the last 7 days.
That's good.
That's crazy. Yeah, he is dialed in. AJ Melendez, 3 extra base hits. Alec Marsh firmly supplants himself into that number five starter conversation with a four innings pitch, two earned, three hits and five Ks, no walks. So very interesting stuff to talk about with Alec Marsh later in this mailbag. But a lot of solid weeks among that pitching staff that's going to make it pretty tough to figure out how this roster crunches down at the by opening day.
It was the flip side for me of that, because Alec Marsh threw four innings. In the previous three innings, Jordan Lyles did 2023 Jordan Lyles things, back-to-back-to-back home runs given up, and then gave up another one in the next inning. So, and then Alec Marsh goes out. He gave up two runs, but I thought he looked much better than what Jordan Lyles did. Obviously, the back injury did not help things for Jordan Lyles, but he kind of is what he is. And if you do want to be competitive, as much as we've talked about, he's probably the fifth starter. I don't think you can do that. I don't think you can afford that, especially with the early schedule that the Royals face, even if he's not going to throw a ton. I would rather see Alec Marsh out there at this point. I think he has seized the opportunity with Jordan Lyles, A, being hurt, and then B, being bad. So we'll see how it all unfolds, but I would not be shocked if he has earned that fifth spot in the rotation. If that's all, then we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to get to your guys' questions right after this.
We appreciate you supporting KC Sports Network by listening to our podcast. You have helped us become the highest-ranked Chiefs podcast network in 2022 and 2023. And don't forget about our daily Substack newsletter, the best written analysis you can find on the Chiefs straight to your inbox every day. KCSN.substack.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We are back here. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Be sure to leave a like on this. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're on the audio platforms, be sure to subscribe. Hit those notification bells so you know when our content goes live on Wednesday mornings, Wednesday afternoon on YouTube. Let's get to these questions. Thank you so much to everybody that either sent in questions on Twitter or in the KCSN Discord. Be sure to get in on that. If you subscribe to the Substack, you get an invite to the Discord. Awesome community, tons of cool stuff in there. Channels for literally anything you could dream of. An awesome community of Kansas City sports fans all hanging out there. And then there is a Royals and baseball page, and that's where these questions came from. This first one from, if I pronounce any names wrong, I apologize. It's been a
what
long
a start.
Day.
Yeah, that's all.
Okay. I'm just, I'm getting the excuses, getting the disclaimers out now, so that no one gets mad at me later. It's from Jason Sutphin. Luis Sessa hasn't been talked about much this spring, and he hasn't given up a run yet. Been pitching really well. Any shot he makes the team? I don't think so, but it feels like this could be a Mike Mayer situation where he's fine. You can, if he's willing to take the assignment and go to, and that doesn't want to elect free agency, he can go to Omaha, and he could be a guy that in a pinch, if you need him for either lack of productivity from a certain guy in the bullpen or an injury, he can be your first guy up. Dude's got plenty of big league time. He can handle himself pretty well. I don't know if it'll be a starter. It would probably be similar to the Mike Mayer's role of a long reliever or on the Costco guy in the on the back end of an opener.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be curious to see what he'd be able to come up with, but he has done everything he possibly can to make a case to make the big league club here. The thing that's working against him is it would require a 40-man move. We talked a little bit about that with the Jake Brintz potential 60-day IL situation, but could also talk about Carlos Hernandez going on that same 60-day IL. So he would require a 40-man move. He also has to kind of beat out Walter Pennington and Sam Long, at least one of those guys. But those are lefties, and whereas Sessa is more of a right-handed guy. So it is kind of interesting to see what the pegging order would be and what his role would be. But there's the non-zero chance that he does break camp with the opening day roster, I think.
Yes, it's non-zero, but I'd put it at like 0.05%. Like I was gonna say
10%, just because he does have a major league track record that's pretty solid as a reliever. So I would say 10%, but still really pretty low.
Yeah. Nick Johnston, hypothetically, Royals are still in contention, closing in on the trade deadline. What position would they need to solidify to continue making a run? First off, love the hopium. It is strong before the season starts always, so I appreciate the question. Josh, you go first on this one.
I think the answer is probably starting pitching. You can't, just basically on the fact that you can't ever have enough of it, and that you're kind of relying on a lot of things to work out for that starting pitching rotation to go well. So I could see them adding a starting pitcher, and one of the names that I kind of came across would require the Mets to not be in it, which, who knows, they're the Mets. But Jose Quintana over there coming, it would be his free agent year going into the offseason. He could be an interesting add to the rotation if the Mets are out of it and the Royals are in it. So that would be probably my most likely, but I do have another one, but I'll give you the chance to take it.
So I think outfield is the pretty obvious one as well, specifically right field, maybe even center field if you're able to get somebody, because I don't know if Kyle Isbell or Drew Waters are starters on a playoff team. That's not to say they're bad players. I just don't know if they would fit there.
The interesting names, there's not a lot on the 2025 free agent list. Juan Soto is obviously in there, but I don't think that's happening. The other interesting one is maybe Cody Bellinger.
I think the Cubs are going to be really good, though.
They definitely could be.
I think they're going to win the Central, so I don't think he would be available. I don't know what other names could possibly be. I would give up whatever to get Juan Soto if it meant that Conforto's
a bad idea. But he's placed the Giants, who are probably going to be in it, I would think. Yeah, maybe.
I disagree, but I have a much different opinion than you and Jordan do on the Giants. We'll talk about that next week when we do our season-long predictions. So that's going to be next week's going to be a very fun episode for a lot of reasons.
Yep.
We'll get to that at the end of this episode. The other one, I think sneaky also, is the bullpen. You can never have too many good bullpen arms. And in the postseason, your rotation shrinks. So the more good arms you have in your bullpen to last you for multiple series, the better. I'm not putting my chips in the Royals are going to make the playoff basket, but I appreciate the hypothetical. Two questions kind of go together. So I'm going to read off Matt Vernon's question. Kyle C., yours is going to be kind of included in here as well. Marsh has to be the five if they're trying to compete, right? His walk rate was his main concern, and he seems to have not have fixed that, then at least improved it dramatically. If Lyles is the five to open the year, then in my opinion, they aren't really trying to compete. I generally agree for the reasons I kind of mentioned a little bit ago with how Lyles has looked this spring. The home run ball still biting him pretty significantly. It still bites Alec Marsh too, because the fastball shape isn't spectacular, but he at least has a couple other offerings that you can at least feel good about. The good news is for the five starter, the pressure is so low. The bar is on the floor for a fifth starter, generally speaking. So as long as they aren't a net negative and like a dramatic net negative, then Lyles or Marsh as your five is fine. I would just rather see Marsh because I know what Jordan Lyles is. I know what I saw last year. And I know that some of the expected numbers and some of the underlying stats say Jordan Lyles is going to bounce back. I'm sorry, I just don't believe it. I would rather see Alec Marsh.
I think I would rather see Marsh. I think that he is the higher ceiling of both him, Lyles, and Willie Lynch. I think that the ceiling argument is definitely more towards Lynch, but Lynch probably has a higher floor than those other two, so...
I don't know at this point between Marsh and Lynch. I don't know.
Yeah, I think Marsh can lose the strike zone way just as detrimentally as Lynch can be hittable. Yeah. I think that they both can be pretty tough, but I do think Lynch has the higher floor with Marsh having the higher ceiling. But I agree. I'm a big Marsh guy. I just don't want to see him not be stretched out enough to still be a starter. I would rather see him be a starter in Omaha to start the season and endure Jordan Lyles or Daniel Lynch than to see Marsh go to the bullpen and not be, you know, maximized value-wise in the bullpen somewhere. So that would be my only caveat to that. Obviously, it's a small sample size. Marsh does just have 25 innings pitched in AAA, 74 innings pitched in the MLB, so he does have a little bit of a track record in the MLB, but still want to see more from him. Marsh does have, you know, the depth argument coming up. He kind of has some flexibility on the roster, so that's kind of working against him, the Lyles contract, and them wanting to reap as much value as they can, probably working against him. And I think Lynch still has the inside track record on him in this regard. So got some things to work through, but we still got, a week or so for Marsh to really make a plant his flag for that job. It sounds like it's an open competition, which is great.
Yeah, absolutely. Lee 87, when do you think it will be the peak time for prospects in AAA this season, or is it going to be a miss all the way around in Omaha? I think it's going to be the beginning of the year because you're going to have Champlain, possibly Mason Barnett. Steven Cruz is going to be there as well. Will Klein will be there. Who else? Tyler Gentry, possibly Waters. Nick Lofton, Drew Waters, yep. Possibly. So there's gonna that team will be pretty good early on. I'm not sure what the influx could be to from Northwest Arkansas. Maybe a Javier Vaz later in the year, but beyond that, I'm not 100% sure. Maybe Caden Wallace if he hits. I would expect Gavin Cross to spend the whole season in AA unless he just tears it up and completely flips. Unless he completely flips around and takes off. So there'll be a few names, but I would say early in the year would be the ideal or like the best scenario here.
And I would argue that rotation is just about must-watch right out of the gate. Not even depending on who makes the
opening roster. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you got dudes in that rotation that it's kind of make or break for a lot of those guys. So
yeah.
I think they're going to be absolutely interesting to watch out of the gate, and I agree. Not much coming in on the back half for them, I don't think.
But if nothing else, too, I don't often go to minor league games for just one team. I want to see prospects from other teams, too. So maybe you find a weekend that a team is coming in like the Reds or something like that. Or I think the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, the Marlins AAA are coming to Omaha this year for the first time. So they're going to, so look at other prospect lists and other teams and find a time to go watch those guys too, because it's a cool opportunity. Mike Denny, for those of us who have not followed through spring training and only saw the Bobby Witt deal, what's your elevator pitch for the team this year?
I think the main one is just, I don't know how many words, maybe 10 words here. Team has a higher floor in a weak division with plenty of upside. Elevator pitch done.
I think that's perfect. I was going to say they'll be more competitive than last year, and the floor is much higher.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that sums it up pretty well for words.
More mature team. I like that a lot. It's got a lot more experience. And then the guys that were young last year have another season under their belt. So I'm into it.
Yeah. Tank the Frank. I really had to think about that because I was totally Frank the Tank. Are there any opening day roster or starting lineup surprises? I don't know how many surprises there could be at this point. Like, I don't think anyone is like burst on the scene enough to, for me to think that there's going to be a shocker. The only one that I could see is maybe a Nick Lofton, but I don't even think that would really be a surprise to most people. I think at this point, it's pretty well solidified kind of who's going to be there.
The main one I came up with was now Sam Long is projected to make the opening day roster on Fangraphs, and I think that would be the biggest one. We've kind of been talking about Sam Long for a couple weeks. He's been had a very, very strong spring. His K to K minus walk ratio has always kind of been way closer to like 10, and it's way more impressive this year. I think 13 Ks, the one walk over 7 1/3 innings, has a pretty solid opponent quality score. So I think what he's done is really, really shown what he could be, has turned some heads in that organization. And I think that, you know, considering we didn't really see him as a not even a long shot to make it, I think I had completely written him off coming into it. But he has really showed and done everything he could to make this roster. And I think that he would absolutely be not necessarily a surprise now, but he definitely entered spring training as like a long shot to make the opening day roster.
And with the injury to Jake Brintz, it opens up the opportunity for a second lefty in the bullpen. So it's not 100%. Just Will Smith.
Yep. Yep.
Arrow, to what degree do you think the starting rotation will be better this year? Think about the rotation the Royals rolled out last year. Okay, enough said. It's going to be a lot better. Like you're,
I said night and day, yeah.
For the reason that we talked about earlier with the elevator pitch, the floor is a lot higher than what we saw last year with Michael Wacha, the additions of Michael Wacha, Seth Lugo, a full year of Cole Reagans, Brady Singer not having the pressure of needing to be the ace. He's your 3 or 4. And then again, Alec Marsh, Jordan Lyles as your 5. Just survive, don't get murdered every fifth day, and we're cool. I think you're going to get really steady, solid production from Lugo and Wacha. Not high-level, all-star type stuff, but just like high threes, going to keep you in a lot of games, going to get you to the sixth inning most of the time, and you feel pretty good about that. And then you have your win day in Cole Reagans where you feel like every fifth day you know the Royals are going to have like a, yes, we are going to win today type mentality, which is something they really haven't had in quite a while.
And I think that better rotation is going to have ripple effects across the entire team. It takes pressure off a lot of those guys. So,
especially the bullpen.
100%. Yep. And the offense isn't going to press as much because they don't necessarily need to score 17 runs a game. So I think it is going to have ripple effects across the entire team. It's going to positively affect them in the long run. So it's a very interesting thing, and hopefully it's a good thing to watch. But should be definitely an improvement over last year. Hard to be worse.
Yeah, you can only go up for what we saw last year. Colin Jekyll, I would like to know your thoughts on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle run, The Last Ronin, please, and thank you. Josh, I'm going to let you take the floor because I don't know shit
about this. Shout out to him because that is... Okay, so my example in the tweet was ask us our favorite Ninja Turtle, and he just kind of flipped it and went way nerdy on me, which I haven't read The Last Ronin, but I have seen enough on Instagram and the Reels that I know the story. I kind of looked into a little bit more. Way darker than my Ninja Turtles. So I haven't read it. I am interested in it because it does look very interesting, but I'm kind of a guy that I need my Ninja Turtles a little more lighthearted than what that's offering.
Fair enough. Corey Peter, I haven't seen anything recent on the Bally Amazon thing. Have y'all seen or heard anything that indicates you'll be able to watch Royals games on Amazon Prime this year? I have not seen anything about this. I think we have some people we might be able to talk to that may be able to give us some sort of indication about that. But I have not. I haven't seen anything at this
point. I still
love it. Loaded.
Yeah. I think it was like Nerdaholic or that website. Pretty good about this kind of stuff. But Amazon Prime will have its own like subscription channel that you can go from. $25 a month though, so a little bit more expensive to go through Prime. That is still subject to blackouts. So that doesn't change yet. But I think that there is potentially some progress to be made. And Amazon, now that they're into it, they can potentially make that progress. So TBD on that in the future seasons, but Bally's does have that app on the Amazon Fire Stick. It's also on Roku. Both of those work pretty well. And just shout out to T-Mobile because they are supposed to, again, have the free MLB.TV for their customers. But again, blackout restrictions. So do what you got to do if you're cutting the cord. I've subscribed to Bally's and I'm a T-Mobile customer, so I should be covered on most of those. And I think that MLB TV is still doing minor league games. So. I haven't heard any difference, but that's also a nice addition to it. So should Absolutely. Be able to be covered one way or another, but just kind of pick your poison, literally.
Yeah. So we got back-to-back questions here from Nick_A. Who is your pick out of nowhere breakout bullpen pitcher this year? Not named John McMillan, which I think had to be the caveat here because I think that would be the obvious answer. I'm going to go with Steven Cruz. I think he has the stuff to be a lights-out legit guy. Triple digits, a wipeout slider. It's just not going to come together right away, but I would imagine that by mid-May, June at the latest, he's back in Kansas City in the bullpen. And that guy that you're like, who is that again? 102. Bam. Oh, all right.
Yeah, taking note of him for sure. I had the same guy. Steven Cruz is my guy as well. Slider gets whiffs. 41.3% in the AAA. Even better in the major league stint last year. 92nd percentile in extension on a velo heavy fastball. Got a sinker as well that's meh. The cutter that I don't know if that was misread or whatever, but at least a three-pitch mix. Two of them are really, really good. So I also went with Steven Cruz. Got to get the command figured out, though.
Yeah, that's why he's going to head down to Omaha. Another one from Nick_A. Choose which player hits below their projected numbers, one that hits at their projection, and one that hits above their projection. I need to think on this one because I did zero prep before this podcast, so I'm going to let you take the reins here to start.
I got you covered. Above. Who's going to hit above their projection? Vinny Pasquantino. His Zips projection was a 123 WRC+. They're projecting he has 21 home runs, which was the rate that he had last season when he was not completely healthy. I think he can definitely get above 25 home runs, which would then in turn raise his WRC plus from not just the highest projected hitter or best projected hitter on the Royals for this season, but I think he's just going to beat that and be even better. So I think he'll hit above it. At their projected, Hunter Renfroe is the 100 WRC plus projection right now. It's pretty close to what he did in 2003 with the Angels, or sorry, 2023. He isn't quite that old yet, but he was like a 99 for his time on the Angels, which is his larger sample size, and over his career is a 106. So if you kind of use the regression on his career, I'd say 100's about right. So if Hunter Renfroe has 100 WRC plus for this year, I'd probably call that a fine signing. Fine. Not great, but fine. And then below, Garrett Hampson's projected to have an 81 WRC plus. His career is a 70. So I don't know how he's hitting that 81 WRC plus. I'm not a big fan of Garrett Hampson. I don't think that's a secret here. But I think he's my pick to go below his Zips projection. But those are my three.
So my above, I'm going to take one that might feel low-hanging fruit. I don't care, Bobby.
Yep.
Like, he's projected for about a one anywhere, any whatever projection system you use on Fangraphs, he's projected around 117 to 121. If there's another gear in there, which I believe there is, he's going to be in the 130s. For sure, if he starts walking a little bit more. He hasn't a lot this spring, but he's also only seeing a handful of at-bats, and he's just trying to get his swings off. I get it. So I think he's gonna go nuts this year. I think he has the potential, I think, to be a top five MVP by the end of the year. I think he can have that type of year. And if he's gonna be that, he's gonna have a better time than the safe projection, I think, that they have here.
I think Zips had him at 113. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, that's nuts to me. I don't see that. Unless he just stops walking entirely and goes full Javi Baez, he's going to be a lot higher.
Seems like he's not really walking, but he's also not striking out. I mean, he's super aggressive.
And if he cuts the strikeouts,
there,
that means he's getting on base more.
Yeah.
It's like, it ends up kind of working out the same, even if he doesn't walk a lot.
Yep.
For my hits at his projection, I think it's Michael Massey. So he's projected for anywhere from a 92 to 93 WRC plus. He has a 91 WRC plus this spring. So pop some homers, don't strike out a crap ton, walk enough, and with his really good defense, WRC plus in the low 90s, perfectly manageable for what he is.
I agree.
And in his first run in the big leagues in 2022 was 92. So, yet he even had, he had a 73 last year and he was still worth half a win. So, a 92 WRC plus over a full season is at least a win.
And that's
with 1.2.
That's with that April WRC plus was like 15 or something crazy.
Yeah. It was like negative 30.
No, that might be right.
He was horrible.
God, it was really bad.
So, if he's able to level out and not be
yeah.
the worst hitter in Major League Baseball in April, then I think we'll be fine. And you're asking him to hit sixth or seventh in your lineup. So it takes a little bit of pressure off for rather than him needing to hit like fifth last year for most of the year. And the guy that I think is going to hit below his projection is Adam Frazier. I don't see it. And like, I'm not like, I watched Adam Frazier for a full season in Seattle. It was pretty ugly. I think you, let me see what I had it pulled up here and I lost it.
You can pull it up too.
Here we go. So he had he actually had a 93 WRC plus in Baltimore last year, but he's playing all those games in AL East ballparks that are bandboxes. He's moving to the AL Central where it's going to be it's going to be cold and a lot more pitcher friendly ballparks. He's projected for a 92. I don't see that at all. And I think he's going to be closer to what he was in Seattle, like a 75 to 80. If he gets regular run, which I still don't know if he's going to, and there's just not enough power there for me to believe that he's going to do anything. Like, he had 13 home runs last year, which was his career high, but again, that's playing in Baltimore, New York, Toronto, Boston, Tampa, where it's a lot easier to hit home runs in that environment.
I was pleasantly surprised by how effective he was at the plate. I knew he had like one really good year a few years ago, but I did not know that he had a decent career as he's had.
Yeah, he was really good for the Pirates, and then just kind of fell off a cliff with San Diego and Seattle. And they kind of bounced back last year, but he still wasn't spectacular. I mean, he was still below league average.
He hit 13 jacks last year. How many do you think would go out in Kauffman?
Seven.
Nine. Great job. Yeah, that's where we are. You nailed that on the head. So it's very interesting to see what he's going to come up with for sure.
Shout out to producer Nick for this question. Compare the Royals' projected opening day lineup to the Fellowship of the Ring from Lord of the Rings. This is entirely a Josh question because I've watched Lord of the Rings once in my entire life and I did not enjoy it. So this is you.
Nick gets me. And before the show we were talking, I was like, Nick, how long do you think that I spent thinking about this question? And the answer was far too long because I went very deep into this. So we're breaking this down. Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring, four hobbits involved with the Fellowship of the Ring. We got Frodo, Samwise Gamgee, Merry, and Pippin. Frodo is a tough one, but I'm going to get to him. Samwise, obviously a Hunter Renfro, unknown contributor, there for support and his intangibles, his leadership in that locker room. That's why he's here. Merry and Pippin is Kyle Isbell and Michael Massey. They're role players, but they have their spots. They have their moments. And then Frodo, I think, is Mikael Garcia. Small in stature, incredibly important, plays a huge role in this situation. So I think Mikael Garcia plays Frodo. He's carrying that ring. We got two humans. We got Boromir and Strider. Boromir is Nick Prado. Has the capacity to do some damage, be very violent, but is susceptible to the enemy. Strikeouts are the enemy for Nick Prado. Bobby Witt Jr. is Strider, the king, Aragorn, king of Gondor. It's where everything lies. So Bobby Witt Jr. is Strider / Aragorn. The wizard Gandalf is Salvi because he's the old wise man. Might be tough. Everything runs through him, but you might lose him to injury about halfway through. So Salvi is Gandalf the gray / white. Legolas the elf is Vinny Pasquantino. Lethal weapon. Lethal. And has an elite eye. So Vinny Pasquantino is Legolas the elf. And finally, the dwarf, Gimli. That's old MJ Melendez. He's dangerous, but you never know what you're going to get. Maybe he gets tossed around because of his small stature. Not very effective, but he is an absolute battler in the wake of the battle. So give me MJ Melendez as Gimli. Nick, I hope you enjoyed that. Thanks for the question. You get it, man.
That was spectacular. My goodness, that was awesome. Derek Lynn, longtime listener, top five guys you're excited for this year, plus one sleeper everyone should be looking for, major leagues or minor leagues, that minor leaguers that will contribute in the big leagues. Oh, man. Top five guys I'm excited. Vinny, just because I think we're going to get him for a full year. His shoulder's actually healthy. He's going to be an all-star if he's healthy. Cole Reagans, for obvious reasons, if he's able to stay healthy, yeah, it's a top 15, 10 pitcher in baseball if he stays healthy, I think.
Yep.
James MacArthur, really loved what he did at the end of last year. I think he has acquitted himself very well to the back end of the bullpen. Can close out games if you need to. Will Smith is not. Will Smith's going to be given the opportunity to close games. However, last couple of stops, it's been real sketchy in the ninth inning with Will Smith. So they might need to go another direction, and that would be why. John McMillan, we got a small sample of him, and it was absolute and electric, and I want to see that for most of the season. So that was what,
is that
four?
Five?
Was that four?
Five.
Four, five.
Just again, give the people another one.
Nelly Nukes.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see if he can replicate what he did last season. And one sleeper, I'll go with Stephen Cruz again. I'll mm-hmm. talk about my guy there.
Yep, that's a good one. And somehow we didn't overlap at all.
I don't know how that nice. Happened. And now, by the way, people, like I said earlier, I did zero prep for this. And normally I do enough to where I can talk out of my ass and it's not that big a deal. I had soccer practice tonight for the first time on a weekday, and that was a long day, and I had zero time to look over the Google Doc. So that was I was off the cuff and ready to go. So
shot from the hip, hit a bullseye. Love it. I went Bobby Wood Jr. Obviously, I want to see him take the next step into superstardom, have that notoriety, even step further than what he did last year. Michael Garcia, I want to see him take a step forward and be, the Frodo Baggins, if you will. Brady Singer has at least one new pitch, but maybe two, maybe three. I want to see what those look like and how they, how they affect the rest of them. Alec Marsh, I want to see him. I want to see him on the major league level, and I want to see him throwing the major league hitters. End of the debate there. Seth Lugo, I think, could have a huge impact on that rotation and this team. Bring in what he can do on a larger scale for the Kansas City Royals in that ballpark. And he just gives you, that curveball is nasty. Oh, so man. I don't think we've seen the best of Seth Lugo from what we've seen in spring training. I think that's to come, and I'm very excited to see what he can mean to this this rotation. But my sleeper, not a great sleeper, but not many people are talking about it. We've already talked about Michael Massey. I think he's got 20-plus home run power. Only had four doubles last year.
Crazy.
Yeah, that's wild. And it could go a long ways in lengthening the lineup. I mean, we talked about Michael Garcia and MJ Melendez being very important to lengthen that lineup, but I think Michael Massey could absolutely be that guy at second base too. So I think it's within him. I think he's a sleeper. He's not being talked about enough, but we'll see how much of an impact him taking a step forward actually has.
Adam Sommer. When picking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, what era or type? Live action early 90s, OG cartoon, Michael Bay abomination turtles,
yep.
The new excellent Seth Rogen ones, because live action, TMNT, TMNT 2, Secret of the Ooze, Ralph is a whole mood. I'm going to go with the OG. To me, you can't beat the OG cartoon. I think that's always the move when it comes to these things.
Yeah, the purists are out there just screaming for OG cartoon. It is surprisingly bad if you revisit it. So I'm excited to show it to my kids one day, but that day is not today. So it's OG cartoon for me. But I do want to shout out that first live action movie. Very, very good there. And the new one, the Mutant Mayhem, watched it. Also very, very good. So shout out to those two as well.
My son, one of his buddies, had a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle birthday party. My son had no idea what it was until he showed up. Got a little Raphael, Red Mask. Yes. I had to really think about it for a second because I was very not, like, I remember TMNT, but I forgot which ones were which for a while. So I had to go back and look at that. My son asked to watch it. Okay. Found some version on Netflix. Super cool until he saw Splinter. Scared the shit out of him. I was like, that's a good guy. Like, it's cool. Yep. I promise.
Who was voiced by Jackie Chan in the new movie, which was just awesome. He did really, really good as well. Yeah, go watch that. It's on Amazon Prime. Shout out to Amazon Prime members, but go get that for free. It's very, very worth your time.
Last question here, our good buddy Alex Duvall. Ignoring the other teams in the Central, what is the Royals' individual path to a division title? How does this team achieve, say, 87 wins? You're the hopium guy. I'll let you take the reins.
While I was talking to Jason Anderson on the Zone 810, shout out to Jason Anderson.
What a plug. Love that.
Yep. We got to talking, and I kind of wondered if the Royals could be the 2023 Arizona Diamondbacks. They had 84 wins. Alex is asking for 87. So I'm kind of in the ballpark with 84. When they relied on, you know, a Cy Young finalist, Zach Allen, and then another really good pitcher in Merrill Kelly, we've got their starting pitchers as a whole were about middle of the road around fifth. So if we've got Cole Reagans potentially competing for a Cy Young and Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha and Brady Singer, if all those dudes exceed their pretty conservative projections, I think that's already on the highway to way more wins. The Arizona Diamondbacks had three bullpen guys that they really relied on, especially down the stretch, but their relief pitchers as a whole was 21st in FIP. So if we got Nick Anderson, we've got Will Smith, we got Chris Stratton, we got James MacArthur. If all those guys are reliable, I think you're in a good path to get to 87. And then their offense was based on four guys with OPSs north of 750. Their team OPS was right in the middle of the road. So Vinny, Bobby, MJ, Salvi, if they all hit their projection and stay healthy, that's very key with a lot of those guys. I think that they're on the right track. But I think in the end, they still need two guys out of the group of Nelly, Prado, Massey, and Waters. We need their breakout season this year in order for the Royals to get to 87. So that's my pathway to get to 87. I think they still need to. There's a lot of ifs in there, and they still need to have quite a bit of luck like the Diamondbacks did last year. But, I mean, anything could happen, I think, at this point.
I think that sums it up pretty well. I don't know how much more I need to add. Once you laid it out, I mean, the path is there. It's just a matter of a lot still has to go the Royals' way for that path to exist.
Yeah.
And we can't have nice things. So I'm not going to sit here and act like it's go like, I think it's realm of possibility. I think I've talked about that for most of the offseason. Like, it is not crazy to think the Royals could do that, given the strength of the division or lack thereof. So, not crazy. If it happens, this podcast can be really damn fun.
I've got fantasies of like live shows where we're able to like have live reactions and post game shows and stuff. So
maybe someday, that'd be buddy.
Very fun. That'd be very fun.
That would be awesome.
I do also want to add that like we're kind of taught so far as Royals fans to expect the worst, and that is an earned reputation.
I mean, we've been tortured for we won a World Series in this decade. Like, I need to call my shit here. But since then, it's been brutal.
Yeah. But we also, so far, we were taught and have learned that we don't get to sign and extend our great players. We don't get to spend a lot of money in free agency. We don't have the pitcher that's a Cy Young candidate that makes the opening day start because they earn it and because they are the best pitcher. So we've learned all these things already and have already been proven wrong. So why not? Why not in 2024 the Royals become a postseason team? Why not?
I love it, man. I want you to be right so bad.
We'll talk about preview next year. We'll see how much I believe my own cheerleading.
Yeah. All right. So, and that kind of led into your nugget of the week. So I think, you know, that segued very, very nicely. So mine, I'm not a huge video game guy, but I play MLB The Show every year. That's like the one game that I truly play all the time year round, and I get the new one every year. And that's going to change once NCAA comes out in July, because I'm going to play the shit out of that. But for now, I'm going to be The Show. Got the new one. I got early access, humble brag. And I've been playing it for a couple of days now. The ratings are out now. All the player cards are in. So I just wanted to let the people know kind of where the Royals sit with all of these cards. And by the way, these are not on a 0 to 99 scale, like the franchise mode, if you're an MLB The Show player. They're rated a little bit differently. I'm using the Diamond Dynasty rankings, which are tiered as Diamond, Gold, Silver, Bronze, and Common. 85 to 99 is a Diamond, 80 to 84 Gold, 79 to 75 is a silver. 74 to 70 is a bronze, or 68 is a bronze. Anything below that's common. Hope that makes sense. Bobby Wood Jr., obviously a diamond. He was rated in 87, which is one of the better, like all live series cards, basically just like the players in that aren't like legends or flashbacks, whatever. I want you to guess who the second highest rated player on the Royals is. Now, but let me before I ask, have you played 24 yet?
Not 24. I have not done 24 yet.
Okay.
I mean, I would think it would have to be Cole Reagans.
Nope. I'll give you another guess if you want, or I can just tell you.
Let's go. Salvador Perez.
Nope. It's the other catcher. Freddie Fermin is a 78.
Whoa.
Salvador Perez is a 75.
Huh.
The other top-rated cards at the Royals. So the Royals have won that one diamond and then a bunch of silvers. So they have Seth Lugo is a 76. Vinny Pasquantino is a 77. Hunter Renfro is a 76. Michael Garcia, Michael Wacha, Will Smith, Nick Anderson are all 75s. Cole Reagans is a 74. I bought a bunch of his cards to invest in as he goes up throughout the year. Let's see some other interesting ones here. Jordan Lyles is a 72 and not a negative 15, so that's cool. Michael Massey is a 71. MJ Melendez is a 68. They have all down to the 40-man roster. Let's see. Alec Marsh is a 67. Anthony Veneziato is the lowest rated live series card the Royals have at a common 53.
What is that? That's wild.
Yeah. Nick Prado is a common 63. This is the one that was surprising to me. James MacArthur is a 61. I thought he should have been at least a 68 after the month he had at the end of the season.
I don't know. I always go into those games and thinking that they're just disrespecting the Royals up and down. Their record definitely doesn't help their case at all. But, I mean, some of these guys on other teams are just way too high compared to what the Royals are getting. It's wild.
Correct. So, you're a video game guy here. Who are some guys that you think are going to tier up throughout the year? And who are some guys that you think are going to tier down?
I mean, Cole Reagans is definitely number one with a bullet on tearing up.
Oh, yeah.
I would think Vinny would tear up. I mean, all those guys probably should. I would hope so. If they don't, we're in a lot of trouble.
Yep. I think Michael Garcia might tear up too.
Yeah.
I think he's going to hit enough, and if nothing else, the defense. I think his defense, they had him rated in like the mid-80s, which I'm like, that's insulting. Let me see. He had... Yo, he has 92 fielding. Never mind. They bumped it up a little bit. Last I saw, I thought it was in the 80s. Yes. Bobby Wood Jr.'s is 86. So I'll read up Bobby's stats in case anyone cares. So he's got 78 contact versus left, 72 versus right, 75 power versus left, versus lefties, 61 power versus righties, 85 clutch, 82 fielding, 76 arm strength. I think he's got a better arm. And then obviously 99 speed.
That's very weird.
Yeah.
I mean, Garrett Hampson's a 74. I don't know how you're saying Garrett Hampson's a 74.
Yeah, I know. And then you get to when you collect the entire Royals 40-man roster, you get a collection card. And the Royals live series collection this year is an 85 overall diamond breakout, Raul Labonte.
Oh no. Okay. I've never seen an Angel Barroa Rookie of the Year card. I would love to see an Angel Barroa Rookie of the Year card.
That would be an interesting legend to have in the game.
Or Bob Hamlin. Give me Bob Hamlin Rookie of the Year card.
Can I get a Ken Harvey All-Star card?
Or Aaron Crow. That'd be awesome with their 83s at best.
At best. I don't even know if they'd get an 83. All right. Yeah. You got any final thoughts before we get out of here? Josh?
I'd say stay tuned to what we got. We're, as Pat McAfee calls it, we're up to something a little bit. So we got some exciting stuff.
Do we want to break it?
We'll talk. We'll just follow us. We'll see where we are. We got some cool things potentially coming up. I don't want to bite off more and promise. I don't want to overpromise and underdeliver. I want to do the other thing. So let's keep it close to the vest. We're up to something though. The other thing, tonight's game, Tuesday night, is on TV on MLB.TV. I believe Wednesday. Let's see. I need to go back and see this before I tell you wrong. Great job, Josh. You're ready for it.
While you're looking
broadcast schedule.
My friend just sent me this. Andy Rogers said that Wade Davis, Greg Holland, and James Shields have all been at Royal Spring Training within the last week. So that's pretty cool.
Yep. I saw that too. Tomorrow, Wednesday's game against the Angels is on Bally Sports, as is Thursday's game against the White Sox, also on Bally Sports. And then the final game on the 23rd, also on Bally Sports. So they kind of sneak in some MLB TV games. I think tonight's game against the Giants is on MLB TV, so keep that in mind. But if you're a Bally's watcher, you got some games to watch this week, so that's very exciting.
All right. We appreciate you guys hanging with us. We'll talk to you next week. We got a loaded episode next week. Like I said, we're up to something. But we've also got prop bets that we're going to hold on to for the season. We have our season-long predictions, not just for the Royals, but for Major League Baseball as well, awards and everything. It is our first pre-game, pre-season leading. It will come out the day before opening day. We could not be more excited. Thank you guys for hanging out with us, and we will talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to KC Sports Network. We appreciate your support. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard. You can find all six of our channels covering the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.